College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No doubles with Frazier at first and two outs. Here's the pitch. Swinging a soft bouncer to short. Witt on to second, gets the force. Kansas City wins by a single run again. And the Pirates have now been down 16 times on the road by a single run. That's the most in baseball. And again, the Pirates cannot win on this road trip. They're 0-6 and another one-run defeat. 4-3 Kansas City, the final.
16 one-run losses on the road. The Pirates are a half game better on the road than the Colorado Rockies are. And the Colorado Rockies may well wind up being the worst team in modern baseball history. They can't buy a victory on the road. And the way that this has all transpired makes me want to throw myself out of a window. Not like a six-story window to my ultimate demise, but like a second story window where it might hurt me a little bit. The Pirates rattled off six straight wins, a perfect homestand, and in the back half of that homestand didn't allow a run. And then it's like looking in a mirror where it's the exact reverse. They get shut out three consecutive games. They've lost all six games on this road trip. They are now 18 games under 500. They are 17 games behind in the division. They are 13 games out of a wild card spot. And folks, I'm waving the white flag. We probably should have waved it a long time ago. This season is over. They will not contend for anything. And what does that have to do with yesterday? Well, yesterday was the two-year anniversary now of the day Paul Skeens was drafted. And because I am waving the white flag, that means you are 2 years into his career. Probably two out of 5 years of his Pirates career that have been flushed down the toilet have been completely wasted. Tarik Skubal won the Cy Young last year for the Tigers. Dorn, you know this.
Yep.
Our listeners know this. His last 13 starts, he's 8-0 with a 1.75 ERA. He has been outstanding. Paul Skeens' last 13 starts, 1-5 with a 1.72 ERA. They have wasted 2 years of Paul Skeens, and here's the question at 412-928-9370. Do we have any faith that they won't waste the entirety of Paul Skeens' tenure? You're 40% of the way through in terms of years. He has the rest of this year to pitch. His numbers are only going to get better because he's Paul damn Skeens, but they're not contending for anything this year, clearly, obviously. Are they going to make the playoffs with Paul Skeens? Does anybody have faith that they're going to be able to do this? 412-928-9370. I'll turn it over to you in just 1 second here, Doran. It's giving me Shohei Ohtani in Los Angeles or in Anaheim vibes. 6 years in LA for Shohei Ohtani. I got to rephrase it again. In Anaheim for Shohei Ohtani. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Can they change their name? Can they just be the California Angels again? Nimrod radio host from the other side of the country don't know what to do with themselves. 6 years in LA, two MVPs. For one of those years, he was fourth in the Cy Young voting. Zero trips to the postseason. It's even worse for Mike Trout. Three-time MVP, 11-time All-Star, 9-time Silver Slugger, 15 years in LA, a surefire Hall of Famer. He went to the playoffs one time, played three games.
My goodness.
And they can actually spend money.
Yep.
And did spend money. One playoff trip for Mike Trout in 15 years. Do the Pirates do it one time with Paul Skeens? 412-928-9370.
Only way they do it is if they make a significant move here in this offseason, because they're not going to do it now. But if they make a significant move, and it has to be the right move. You can't take a flyer on an up-and-coming GM or front office. They need to revamp that whole entire front office and revamp the mentality of, you know, all the way to the top. I mean, it really comes down to that. At least you would try to do it, you know, and I'd give credit if they at least try to to spend the money to surround Paul Skeens with the adequate talent. But it all starts with the mentality up top, and then it starts with the general managing of getting the right players in here. If they do that, they have a chance. I don't know. I don't know if that's gonna, you know, I don't know if that's gonna equate to them winning a lot of games to make it to the playoffs, but that's the only chance that you have if you do that. Only one.
They spent $35 million two off seasons ago. They spent $10 million on Aroldis Chapman. They need to do that bare minimum this offseason. We have talked about the need to move on from Ben Cherington. It is year six. They are, unless they get super hot down the stretch, going to lose more games this year than they have the previous two. They're going in the wrong direction. This is year two of Paul Skeens, and the team's getting worse. So we've talked about the need to move off of Ben Cherington. 6 years is enough to say he ain't the right man for the job. But you also need to make a legitimate financial commitment. And they did that relative to how they've always operated in 13, 14, and 15. They were spending some money back then. You know, they signed Liriano to a longer contract. They got Ivan Nova. They went out and they spent money for them. It was a lot of money on Russell Martin to bring him in. They were active and willing participants in the trade deadline. You're right, man. It's an entire philosophical shift, but it's something that has happened, and it needs to happen this offseason. Because if it doesn't, if they don't spend the money, because they don't have the pipeline of prospects coming up, with the exception of Connor Griffin, and he may not even be here next year, and I would guess probably not going to be here next year, they don't have the pipeline of AA and AAA hitters that are going to come here and augment what is a very good pitching staff. And thus, how are you going to turn this thing on a dime? You have to spend the money, and you have to be shrewd. And in order to be shrewd, you need a new GM. And in order to spend the money, you need a new philosophy.
Yeah.
So my guess is they're probably not going to make the playoffs in the next 3 years. Probably I wish not. I were wrong, but it's hard not to be pessimistic. They have Paul Skeens, and they're worse.
I mean, you have to be prepared to overpay for players, too. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Because there's still the, you know, I guess the stigma, I guess would be the word, that who would want to come here and play?
And I have not granted Ben Cherington enough grace on that, Doran. He may have tried to pay guys this offseason, and they may have decided to go elsewhere. That's as nice as I can be about it. But you're right. You want to get guys to come here. Like Paul Goldschmidt, if all else is equal, and I didn't see it was reported that they offered him a deal, but let's just play it out for a second. If all else is equal, do you want to go to the Yankees or the Pirates? You want to go to the Yankees.
Yeah.
You got to pay him a little bit more. You're right about that.
You have to be prepared for that. So it's not going to be, you know, paying what you did 2 years or 2 years ago, $35 million. I mean, you're going to have to add a lot to that. If that's the bare minimum, you're going to have to add a lot to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, I mean, what's the selling point? Oh, I could play with Paul Skeens. Okay, cool. Like, if I'm a player, like, yeah, okay, that's a pitcher.
Right, and Paul Skeens has made 42 career starts in Major League Baseball. He's upwards of 250 innings. He has a 1.95 ERA. He won the Rookie of the Year. He was third in Cy Young voting. He's already a two-time All-Star. What has that yielded the Pirates? It'd be nice to play with Paul Skeens. Of course it would. But Paul Skeens ain't even winning his starts because they can't score runs. They are 29th in Major League Baseball in runs scored. I was actually stunned to see that when I looked it up today. I figured they were just in dead ass last, 30th. Nope, they're 29th, but that's only because the Chicago White Sox exist.
Would that be something, though? Like, let's be honest with ourselves and think about this. Like, if you are, let's say, a first baseman or shortstop, like, what would it be cool to play with Paul Skeens? Like, would that push you in a direction where I would want to sign for a team? Because it's not like any other sport. Like, it'd be, okay, like, I know that if I played, you know, 10 years ago, if I wanted to come to the Penguins, that if I played on Sidney Crosby's line, he's going to make me that much better. I know that if I signed with New England Patriots, that Tom Brady was going to make me that much better as a tight end. I know that if I played with LeBron or Steph Curry, that they're going to make me better. Like Paul Skeens, if I'm a shortstop, what does he do for me? I wouldn't even wait. That wouldn't even be a part of my decision making, honestly, because like we're on two different wavelengths of playing the sport. Baseball is unique like that. Like it wouldn't sell me at all.
That's well said.
Wouldn't, unless I was a catcher.
So O'Neal Cruz hitting about 200. And he's got 16 home runs. Let's just say he had blossomed into the best possible version of that. Let's say he was Kyle Schwarber from a couple of years ago, who hit 197 and 47 homers. I'd want to sign in Pittsburgh if I'm a hitter and be slotted into the lineup ahead of that guy. Oh, you better pitch to me, because if not, you're pitching to a dude who's going to hit 50 home runs.
Yep.
That would be a selling point. With Paul Goldschmidt, again, to use him as an example, I'm sure it's a selling point. You place me in the lineup, either ahead of or behind Judge and Stanton. Okay,
yeah,
I'm going to get much better pitches to hit. But I get to be on the same roster as a Paul Skeens? That's great. Every fifth day, we have a really good shot to win. What else does it do for me?
Right.
I get to watch history? Well, I got MLB TV. What's the big deal?
I mean, yeah, if I'm a player, like, I mean, that's not going to be a part of my decision making.
Not to mention you're fighting against things like your reputation if you're the Pirates and what happened to Rowdy Tellez last year.
Yeah.
Which, whether it was because of the bonus or not because of the bonus, it's viewed as, hey, they got rid of him because he was about to get a roster bonus.
I mean, that's the only thing in my like estimation that they could sell right now, and it's not even a big selling point is really what I'm trying to get at. Like, that's the only thing
right.
that you could sell as an organization right now for free agents to want to sign here, and it's not even a selling point, to be honest with you. Selling point is money, winning, lineup construction, things of that nature if I'm a player.
We got a nice ballpark.
Yeah, no.
Some great places to eat here in Pittsburgh.
It's cold. You know you're going to get a month of cold.
And you're generally not going to have to worry about that cold in October. I hate to be a pessimist. I hate for us to wake everybody up at 6 o'clock in the morning and talk about Paul Skeens' career in Pittsburgh being wasted, but it's hard to think that it won't be unless major changes are made this offseason. Do you have any faith that they'll make the postseason at least one time in Paul Skeens' Pirates career? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. I look at the Royals, man. They've only scored a couple of more runs than the Pirates have this season. They're a terrible hitting baseball team. They're only two games under 500. You should at minimum be where they are. And if you're where they are, you're still thinking, hey, maybe in the second half we get hot. Or you're thinking, hey, maybe this offseason we get a bat or two. Not even one of these big boppers, but a bat or two professional hitters, and we could contend in the NL. But because you're 29th in the league in runs scored, and you go on these long swaths of not being able to hit beach balls, you're 18 games under 500. How do you take a team that's going to finish probably more games than that under 500 and think that you can repair it in one offseason, unless a ton of stuff happens?
I mean, you were there last year at this time.
And then you totally bottled the
right.
deadline.
And you've been bad ever since the deadline last year. That warrants a different direction, in my opinion.
Yes.
That warrants a different direction, in my opinion.
They should have uprooted the entire thing last year.
Yes.
When you go 76-76 for the second consecutive year, they should have just said, all right, we're getting a new manager, we're getting a new general manager, and we'll take a shot at it this way. All right, let's try to spin this positively then. What would a plan be to get them into contention next year? What's the quickest route to contention at 412-928-9370? And do you have faith that the Pirates can and will do it? 412-928-9370. Good Thursday morning to you folks. 2 years and a day after Paul Skeens was drafted, and they're in just as crappy a situation as they were before. they called his name.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday was the two-year anniversary of when the Pirates drafted Paul Skeens, and they are worse now than they were when they got him. Do you have any faith that the Pirates will make the postseason with Paul Skeens? 412-928-9370. Isn't a single texter, Doran, that says yes. Not one. Not one texter who has faith in the Pirates administration to get something done. And it's hard to disagree. When you're now working under the assumption that he'll be here for, what, 3 more years? And you're going to have one of the worst. You do have one of the worst teams in baseball. You have to flip it quick. And they've got the hard part, I think, done with the pitching staff. Really good bullpen. Really good rotation. We haven't even seen Bubba Chandler yet. We haven't even seen Hunter Barco yet. Jared Jones should come back next year. Johan Oviedo is working his way back to the majors. You've got options. Mike Burrows looks like a solution. Ashcraft could be a piece of your rotation, or he could be part of your bullpen. Majinski, probably not going to be part of your rotation, but could be part of your bullpen. How do you flip this thing quick? I don't know how realistic this is, but here's my quick, pretty much written out on a napkin idea for what they could do this offseason. I just looked at all the free agents available at the end of the year, and I don't have to name them all, but there's like 8 good catchers, 6 good first basemen, 5 good second basemen, a couple of good third basemen, 4 or 5 useful shortstops, and a whole bunch of good outfielders. If you spend money, you can upgrade. Because we're not upgrading from the 27 Yankees here. We are upgrading from one of, if not the worst hitting teams in all of baseball. And I feel like if you get to average in terms of hitting the damn thing, you're a playoff team next year. Easier said than done. So here's my plan. They spent $35 million 2 years ago in the offseason. You need to spend bare minimum that this offseason. But you got to find a way to spend more. And I think they're loath to do that unless salary moves out. So I'm trading Keller. I'm trading Hayes. I'm trading Bednar. I'm probably trading Bednar this deadline because I think with a reliever midseason, that's how you maximize your value. And I understand Charrington's going to make the trade. You need to get something in return for Bednar.
Right. What are you getting?
I don't know. I would hope a bat, but you might have to package him with Dennis Santana. Fine. If you trade Bednar, that's $6 million coming off the books. That's what he made in arbitration this year. He'll make that or a little bit more next year. If you trade Hayes, you're getting $7 million off the books. If you trade Keller, you're getting $17 million off the books. So all told, that's $30 million. You couple that then with the $35 million that they spent 2 years ago that I would like them to spend again, you got $65 million to work with.
There you go.
You can make it work that way if you've got the right GM who's not going out and spending money on Tommy Pham. Now, all due respect to Tommy Pham, he's had a great month or so because he can see. But he had a bad year last year, and he mostly has stunk this year. You need to do better than that. You could spend that kind of money and get an Austin Hayes, who we've talked about, who has played well this year at last checked for the Reds. You need a couple of those bargain basement guys that go well, but if you're spending $65 million bucks, you can get a couple of dudes who aren't bargain basement guys.
Like who? So you said you're not going to name all the positions that are free agents. Let's take like the third guy, like the third best shortstop that's a free agent.
So Bo Bichette will be out there, Trevor Story, Orlando Arcia, Miguel Rojas.
What about third base? Since you're getting rid of Hayes.
Eugenio Suarez, Max Muncy, Gio Urshela, Josh Rojas, Luis Urias, whose name I just butchered. I know that I'm not Rice. Going back. Thank you. In the outfield, Luis Robert. I don't know if you've checked in on him. He's had
when he hurt
a dreadful season. He's always hurt. Yeah. Tyler O'Neill, Kyle Tucker, Kyle Schwarber, Michael Conforto, Mike Yastrzemski, varying degrees of good, right? Mm-hmm. Hunter Renfro, Max Kepler, Lane Thomas, Willie Castro, Jesse Winkler, Austin Hayes, Randall Grichuk. So again, varying degrees of good, useful, upgrade, whatever. There are guys. And if you've got $65 million to work with, you should be able to get a couple of guys. And can a couple of guys push you to being average offensively? Because that's all I think it takes. Now, the unrealistic part is them spending $65 million right. in one offseason in all likelihood. But I'm trying to meld the unrealistic with the realistic, and I'm trying to get money out so that they'll have money to spend. Because here's a reality that people don't think about. Their payroll is going to be more next year than it is this year just because guys' contracts are going to go up and they're going to have more players who are arbitration eligible. So, like, Brian Reynolds is going to cost more next year than he does this year. Keller's going to cost more next year than he is this year. So, even if they keep everybody, they will preach to you, oh, the payroll is higher, and it just happened organically. Right. Yeah. Harry, you look to be champing at the bit back there.
It's Randall Grichuk, not Randall Grichuk. You think these players want to come to Pittsburgh when the radio hosts mess up their names? I mean,
I think I'm low on the list for reasons why they wouldn't want to be here, but Austin Hedges might quibble with that. Austin Hedges might say, no, that radio host made me want to leave and go to Cleveland. Imagine going to Cleveland.
Imagine winning a World Series in Texas. Don't forget, that was where he went first.
Exactly.
He carried them to that World Series. Austin Hedges.
Pitch Freeman.
Which might go away.
Yeah.
Guys like Austin Hedges wouldn't get to hang around in the league all that long if pitch Freeman goes away. Here we are talking about Austin Hedges, and I'm sad. Usually this is the time in the show where we let a long exhale out because of the state of the Pirates, and I think it's good. Maybe we do a group exhale. You want to do a group exhale?
Sure.
A little goose fraba. But unless you get rid of Ben Cherington, let's say you gave Ben Cherington $65 million. I don't know that I'd feel great about him spending that correctly.
No.
So not only do you need to do this plan, but you need to do the Doran plan, which is get rid of Ben Cherington. And I'm not convinced they're going to do that. I'm really not. How could I be convinced? Washington got rid of the manager and the general manager. They didn't. Why? They must have some sort of faith that he's doing something right. They did just draft Connor Griffin last year. Nick Gonzalez looks the part, I think. The pitching staff is great. He's done a wonderful job building up the pitching staff. Is that enough for him to get a year seven? Maybe it is. Okay. A lot of football stuff coming down the pike with Pat Bostic, who's going to join us at 7 o'clock. Coming up next, I wanted to talk about this yesterday, but we were having too much fun not talking about this. ESPN continues to write stories, opinion pieces, on why the Pirates should trade Paul Skenes and what they could get in a return for Paul. We'll go over that a little bit when we come back. And the Pirates only have themselves to blame for these stories.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting written. We mentioned some upcoming baseball free agents in the last segment, and the text line has blown up saying that list sucks. Yeah, but so do the Pirates. And so you could get some bad hitters in here that are better than atrocious hitters. It would actually be an upgrade.
Yep.
So think about it that way. Meanwhile, ESPN doesn't go a day without writing something up about how the Pirates should trade Paul Skenes. This time, it was Dave Schoenfield, who is a really good baseball mind. I'm a big fan of his work, actually. But he writes three hypothetical offers that teams should make to get Paul Skenes this deadline. Could you imagine?
If it actually happened?
If it happened, I think that a lot of Pirates fans that have threatened to jump off the bandwagon,
They're gone.
I think they would be gone.
Gone.
I think they would be gone. I would still go to games. I would still watch them for the job. It's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would take any joy in watching them on television.
No.
You know, you get a hot dog and you take the family down. Right. Still a nice night out. But if they traded, and they won't. Just first off, this deadline, they're not going to move Skeens. But if they did, yeah, oh, it'd be over for me.
Oh, done.
Done. Offer number one, Schoenfield writes, you trade Skeens to the New York Mets and they give you back shortstop / center fielder Jet Williams. Good name, Dory.
Great name. Two T's.
Two T's, buddy.
Nice.
Number 20 prospect in all of Major League Baseball. And you'd get Jonah Tong, who's the 50th best prospect in all of Major League Baseball. Right-handed pitcher Nolan McLean. Infielder Ronnie Mauricio, whose name I'm sure I butchered. And outfielder Carson Benj. That would get exactly zero Pirates fans excited.
Zero.
I've never heard of any of those guys, except for Ronnie, again, whose name I butchered because we talked about him in a potential Mitch Keller trade last week.
Wait, so that is the equivalent is, hey, we'll give you one of the best generational pitchers ever, and you give us the best thing that we'll get back in the trade is a top 20 prospect.
That's right.
That's insane.
Insane. Scratch that one off. Offer number two from the damn Dodgers. Which, can't they wait their turn? Can the damn Dodgers not wait in line? Can the damn Dodgers not make this trade 3 years from now? You know what I'm saying?
This is hypothetical.
I know. It just pisses me off. We got to get Paul Skeens to New York. Got to get Paul Skeens to Los Angeles. Let's get the rich richer. Do it now. Pittsburgh fans, they don't deserve to watch this guy every fifth day. No, the Dodgers, they get that guy. The Mets, they get that guy. So here's the Dodgers' hypothetical offer, according to Dave Schoenfield. Catcher, outfielder, Dalton Rushing. 14th best prospect in all of Major League Baseball. If it ain't a top 10 guy to start, I'm out.
Seriously.
Outfielder, Jose DePaula, 17th best prospect in all of Major League Baseball. Infielder, Alex Freeland. Right-handed pitcher, Emmett Sheehan. And left-handed pitcher, Jackson Ferris.
No.
I need to know, no. And there are prospect ball knowers out there who are listening to the show right now, and they might say, oh, no, I've heard of some of these guys. No, I need like a Roman Anthony from Boston.
Yeah.
Like, I need the number one guy. If I'm trading maybe the best pitcher in baseball history, and I don't think it's hyperbole, but certainly the best two-year start to a pitcher we've ever seen in the history of the game. No, I need like the best prospect in all of baseball and then some and then some and then some. And then offer number three, this one really irritates me. Detroit. Max Clark, who's an outfielder, the number 8 prospect in all of Major League Baseball. At least that's a good starting point. Shortstop Kevin McGonigal, the number 11 prospect in all of Major League Baseball. Okay, all right. Right-handed pitcher Jackson Job. Infielder Colt Keith. That guy's got to be good. Both those guys. Those are great baseball names.
They are good baseball names,
Jackson
yes.
Job and infielder Colt Keith. And right-handed pitcher. Oh, this is an all-name team here. Sawyer Gibson Long.
No.
You know what makes me sad? Is that in some alternate universe, if you believe in the infinite universe theory, the Pirates should be trying to trade for Tarek Skubal to add him to their rotation.
Yes.
Not the other way around. Now, Dave Schoenfield, very good at his job. I'm sure this got a lot of clicks. I'm sure in L.A. and New York and Detroit, they're going, oh, boy, we could get Paul Skeens. If you want that guy, it ain't happening at the deadline, first of all. We'd have to wait until the offseason, and it's not going to happen this offseason either. And it's got to be the biggest trade return in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
And I need rostered players, too.
Absolutely.
And not just part-time guys like Ronnie Mauricio from the New York Mets, who plays like 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's no way that you could sway me to trade him now.
No.
Unless you're giving me like Pete Alonso and somebody else.
Yeah, give me the polar bear.
Right. Like, give me a guy that it is equivalent to Paul Skeens. Like, I want one of your guys. Mm-hmm. There's only that. Hey, then we could talk.
Give me a Juan Soto and pick up 95% of his contract.
Yep. Give me Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. Give me Ohtani. Just the hitter. He can pitch for you guys. Right. Let him hit for us.
Hit for the birds.
Like every fifth day, we'll ship him over to LA. You got to pay the flight costs. Like that's, you have to blow me away. Because I referenced this the other day. The Nationals, they got a huge return for Juan Soto, which was universally praised at the time. It was praised this offseason. I saw some think pieces on it. Like, these guys have all played well. They got what they needed to. They just fired their manager. They just fired their general manager who made the trade. And they're just as bad as the Pirates.
Yep.
So, like, if you could guarantee me that trading Skeens would lead to the playoffs, like, guarantee that, all right, yeah, I'd have to stop and think about it. But you can't. That's not how life works. That's not how sports works. And the last time we saw a mega deal of anything resembling this magnitude, it did not work out for the team that made the trade. And I'm sitting here, I'm mad at Schofield, I'm mad at ESPN. I shouldn't be mad at them, at those entities. I should be mad at the Pirates, because the reason that these pieces continue to get pumped out there for clicks is because the Pirates are bad again in year two. And he's going to start the All-Star game.
Crazy. That's where we're at.
All right. Livy Dunn went viral. Did you see this?
Yeah.
The Yankees, I don't think, are going to be a player for Paul Skeens. We'll tell you why when we come back. We've got Pat Bostic joining us for the full show starting at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And always, the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
So a few months ago, I decided I was going to make my first real estate purchase, which is so exciting, and I was going to get an apartment in New York City. But the gag was, it was Babe Ruth's apartment. So naturally, like, I'm telling everybody, I'm excited. I was going to buy it, and I was going to pay with cash. Like, I wanted this apartment bad. Like, it got to the point where the realtor was so confident. Paul and I went, I got an interior designer because I didn't want to bring my college furniture to Babe Ruth's apartment. That would be like criminal. Then the week that I'm supposed to get my keys to my brand new apartment, I get a call. The co-op board denied me.
That's Livy Dunn, girlfriend of Paul Skeens. Megastar, gymnast, model, social media maven. They got denied by the co-op.
Yep.
Co-op says, we don't want Livy Dunn up in here.
Uh-huh.
We don't want Paul Skeens up in here.
Uh-huh.
I hope Paul is as big of a jackass as I am, because I wouldn't go to the Yankees if I were Paul. Screw you. You don't want me buying Babe Ruth's apartment? I'll go to the Mets. I'll go to the Dodgers. I'll go to the Red Sox. I ain't going to the New York Yankees. But that's not the crux of this for me. The crux of this for me is she's buying her first property. This is my first real estate purchase, she says. And it's Babe Ruth's apartment in New York City.
For cash.
For cash!
For cash.
First house I ever bought was one half of a duplex. And on the other side of the duplex was like an 80-year-old man who wouldn't sleep overnight, would sit out and watch to make sure kids weren't causing trouble in the back alley. That's not a joke. That's reality. And man, the mortgage wasn't all that expensive, and we were pinching pennies to make sure we could afford that thing. You got Livy Dundam out here, first real estate purchase, buying Babe Ruth's apartment? My God!
Yep, but you didn't get denied, and she did.
How about that, Livy?
Yep.
I was a great tenant. Saved my neighbor's life.
I mean, co-op board, right? Denied her.
Yeah.
I probably would too. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more to these influencers. And you know what? I'm sure Livy Dunn is a nice person. This is not a really a shot at her. It's just in general. I mean, these people probably don't want all that that comes with it to in their space. Like, I mean, filming their building and doing stuff on the rooftop and, you know, doing all these crazy, like, I understand. Like, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
Even if they weren't big time on social media, which she is, and so by extension, Paul is, it might just be a notoriety thing. Like, we don't need
100%
famous people up in here,
because
then you get the hoi polloi, and you get the paparazzi,
right,
and it's annoying. Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this has anything to do with Paul Skeens. How many times is Paul going to be there? Probably twice. I'll probably go there two times a year. He's going to be playing baseball. He's not going to go to New York City whenever he's not in his offseason. He's going to be down in Florida somewhere training. So it's more about Livy living there and doing her social media stuff there.
In all cash, Doran.
Cash, yeah. I mean, she's got money. Got more money than Skeens.
I want to see what the cost is of this apartment. $1.59 million.
I thought it'd be more than that.
Babe Ruth's former Upper West Side apartment in New York City, currently listed for $1.59 million. Three-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath. Pre-war residence.
I figure it'd be way more than that, actually.
I just can't fathom the idea of handing over $1.59 million in cash.
You can whenever you have her bank account.
No doubt.
We just talked about that.
Is that a duffel bag situation? Like, do you?
I think you wire it.
Oh, yeah. What am I talking about? Yep. It's 2025.
Yeah, it's not like cash.
I'm thinking you show up like Paul's driving a Brinks truck.
She's basically saying vehicle. She doesn't have a mortgage. She's not going to pay monthly. She's going to pay all up front. You thought that she was pillowcases.
If I were that rich, I would get $1.5 million out the bank, all in ones.
Mm.
I would fill up the Mount Lebanon public pool, and I would just swim in cash for a day, just to feel what it, just because I can, just swim around in cash. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Your first place you bought.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably really nice. Is it the one you live in now?
That's the first place I bought.
You bought,
but yeah. I mean, I obviously rented a lot of different places.
I'm sure you rented some real nice spots.
Rented some real nice spots. I always had to have, obviously, two places. I had a place here and then a place where I was playing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You spent your off seasons here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Harry, you have not yet bought property, right? You're just buying like 15 vehicles.
Correct.
Yeah.
I want to get to five before I get my first apartment.
Shut up. No, you don't. I couldn't have sounded more like Livy Dunn there if I tried. Shut up. Or intern Dom. You don't actually want to get five vehicles.
No, I don't.
Okay. The next purchase you need to make is a place to live. You and the lovely Jada, your girlfriend.
That's what she keeps telling me.
Smart person.
My God.
You're telling me your girlfriend doesn't want you to buy another van?
She does not want another vehicle.
Shocking. You're going to listen to her, right? Because you didn't listen to us.
He never listens to us.
No. Half a duplex, Doran.
Yeah.
We put a lot of work into that duplex.
Sure.
New floors, new kitchen. I did a lot of the work myself, actually. My uncle's a floor guy.
Mm-hmm.
I put the floor down with him.
Mm-hmm.
Busted out some cabinets. Never felt like more of a man.
You should have rented it out.
I know. But we wouldn't have been able to afford our new place if we didn't sell the old place. I'd love to do that. I would hire some big burly guy to be the property manager so that I wouldn't have to deal with anybody. Get a little passive income.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Flip them houses.
Oh, my wife wants to do that.
Yeah.
We've seen every episode of Love It or List It two times.
Yes.
HGTV. Which, that's always weird. So Livy Dunn's going to buy, or tries to buy, Babe Ruth's apartment. And so if you did a Love It or List It, it would be like, she's a social media influencer worth blah,
content
blah,
creator.
Blah. Content creator, and he's a Major League Baseball player. Budget, $18 million.
Right.
But you'll see that on Love It or List It.
It's crazy.
Oh, we're buying a place in the Cayman Islands. He reads books on YouTube.
Stay-at-home mom.
And she's a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. It's like, how are these people able to afford these spots? All right. What was your first property? 412-928-9370. Text us. Again, 412-928-9370. It is July 10th, thus meaning it is pretty dry content-wise out there for the national media and even local topics. Apart from the Pirates, what's actually going on right now? Bad time, then, for A. Rooney to go on a podcast. So A. Rooney goes on a podcast and said some stuff. Is this a big deal or not? And we'll talk about the context of what this Rooney said when we come back. Pat Bostic's going to be joining us from 7 o'clock until 10. First, though, Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.